Well, take your Bibles, if you would, and go to the book of Genesis, chapter 2. Today is Sunday, February the 12th, 2023. We're going to begin in Genesis chapter 2. It is quite common to hear people say that we are all made in the image and likeness of God, and that we hear that on a regular basis. And this morning we're going to consider that from what the scriptures say and also see why it's so important to understand what God has to say. And I realize that for most of us this will be kind of a review, but I think it'll be very good to look at this. So, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, God told the man, the Lord God commanded the man, that's Adam, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. That was the word of God to Adam. But we know chapter 3, verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said of the serpent, oh, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Well, not exactly what God said. God said, freely eat. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it. God didn't say anything about touching. He just said, don't eat it. And yet she's quoting God. And then she said, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. You might die. There's a possibility. And God said, in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Whatever God said was a lie. The exact opposite. God said, you shall surely die. Serpent said, you shall not surely die. For God does know, God knows that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened. And you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You know, I mentioned before we sang some songs that, you know, there's a commercial in the big game today, and I said it makes a real mockery of this section of God's Word, this section that is extremely important to understand. And that's why I said they made a mockery of it. For a long time, people have, you know, said Eve ate the apple. I don't say anything about apples. But I guess we get educated in the commercial today because Eve's going to eat an avocado. Ha, 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 ha. That's why I said, made a mockery. Back to verse 4. The serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. God said, in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Look at chapter 5 of Genesis. Verse 5, talking about Adam. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. Oh my God. And he died. 930 years. Thought God said that in the day you eat it, you shall surely die. Was the serpent right in telling Eve, you shall not surely die? Well, let's back up a minute and go to chapter 2 and just put this together. Verse 7 of chapter 2. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The body was formed from the dust of the ground. And then God, it says, God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And I think you know in the Hebrew, that's nephesh chai, which the animals also had, living soul. It's the soul life we have is manifested by breathing. When you stop breathing, you have no more soul life. You die, right? In what we read in Genesis 5, when it said Adam lived 930 years and then he died, oh, no more soul life. He died. Also, so we've got man, the body formed, breath life, soul life, and then also in chapter 1, verse 26, God said, let us make man, oh, here it is, in our image, after our likeness. And that's where they get that. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. People that say we're made after the image and likeness of God don't continue with the verse and say all people are made in the image of God and all people have dominion over all of the fish. Over, well, they don't put that part in there, do they? They just say we're made after the image of God. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And what's so noteworthy about this, because sometimes people go, well, why are those two verses not over here in Genesis 2 when it talked about forming the body and breathing into his nostrils the breath of life? How come it's not all together? Because God put it where he wanted to put it. And it's so fantastic. The very first mention of human beings in the Bible is us having, or them having, the Spirit of God. Very first. And that's very important to recognize. So it's really important to note what we just read. God formed man's body from the ground. God breathed into man, giving him soul life. And God created both the male and the female in his image. So the question then is, what is the image of God? If you note there in chapter 2, verse 7, it says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. The Bible doesn't say God formed Adam's body in God's image or likeness. It doesn't say that there. His body was formed of the dust of the ground. You know what's really cool? Look at chapter 5 again. Chapter 5, this is after they were expelled from the garden. Verse 3, chapter 5, verse 3, Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own image, in Adam's image, after Adam's, his own likeness, his own image, and called his name Seth. Isn't that interesting? Real interesting. Seth and all the rest of Adam's children were made in the likeness or the image of Adam. So again, the Bible doesn't say that God formed Adam's body in God's image or likeness. What we know from just reading those verses is that Adam and Eve both had a body. They had soul life, and they were also created in God's image. The Bible doesn't say anywhere that all people are created, made, or are in the image or likeness of God. The Bible doesn't say that. But, you know, so often we hear people say that that's the reason we should be loving to one another. You know, it's funny, I think it was Friday, and I have most of this teaching prepared, and I went and ran an errand Friday, and I was just punching around on the radio, and there was a religious person saying, and you know, the reason that I just love people, the reason that I, is because we're all made in the image of God. And I was going, well, that's interesting. I'm going to be sharing on that. But that was his motivation for loving people, because we're all made in the image and likeness of God, and we're not. It's just absolutely not true. So what is God's image? Go to John chapter 4. And again, I realize this may be a bit of a review, but, you know, sometime if someone has a question about it, you can show them these verses, because it's not that hard to understand. In John chapter 4 was is the record where Jesus was with the woman at the well. And Jesus Christ told her in John chapter 4, verse 24, God is a spirit. The word a really should be in italics because there's no article in the Greek. God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is spirit. So put that together with back up to Luke 24, not too far back. In Luke chapter 24, Jesus Christ appearing to his followers in his resurrected body. In verse 36, Luke 24, 36, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, just popped right in his resurrected body. And he said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me. Come over here and touch me. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones. We don't look like God. What are we going to say? God has eyeballs and ears and... But aren't those great verses? A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones, and God is spirit. So Adam and Eve were created, it said in Genesis 1, created in the image of God, which is spirit. So they not only had a body formed from the earth, they not only had soul life, breath life, soul life that God breathed into them, but of all the creatures that God made, God uniquely gave human beings his spirit, spirit life. Now go to Ephesians chapter 2. And see, if you have a desire to know and to learn, what we just looked at is real simple, isn't it? It's very simple. And as you know, when Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed God, they did surely die that very day because they lost the Spirit of God. The spirit that God gave them. They lost spirit life, and God intended originally for human beings to be three parts: have a body, have soul life, and have spirit life. And the loss of life is referred to as what? Death. Sure, and that's what died that day. The spirit was gone. And as you know, part of God's great plan of salvation and redemption was to make spirit life available once again for human beings, his spirit life. That's why from God's point of view, before we got born again, before we received God's spirit, from God's point of view, we were dead. Even though we're living, we're dead. Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened. That word means made alive. We were dead, but he hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. From God's point of view, before you received God's Spirit, you and I were dead. We had soul life, but we were missing the most important life. Spirit life. John chapter 10, another familiar verse. John 10, verse 10, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus Christ, speaking to these people, said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The people he was talking to, were they alive? He wasn't saying this at a graveyard. They were alive. They had soul life. But Christ came that we could have life, that we could have spirit life. So again, God's original desire for human beings was to be three parts, body, soul, and spirit. And the Spirit of God in a human being would give them a connection with the Creator. It would enable them to have an open relationship with God Almighty. It would give the human being direct access to God Almighty, which is what he wanted. And Adam had such a great relationship with God before the fall. So great was that relationship that we read in Genesis where God brought the animals to Adam to see what he would call them. You know, they had this wonderful relationship, but it was all gone. Go to 1 John chapter 5. You know, as we look at this, we begin to see how foundationally important it is to understand body, soul, spirit. And it's so mixed up with people talk about when someone dies, their soul goes somewhere. Soul is breath life. Yeah, their breath life went. It's gone. But, you know, people talk about, you know, their soul is in heaven or their soul is over here. And they get it all confused. And that's not a good thing. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, this is the record. 1 John 5:11. This is the record that God hath given to us. Eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. What kind of life? Eternal life by way of the Spirit. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Dead. Might be a body and soul person, might be a wonderful guy, might be somebody that's very loving and generous to people, but from God's point of view, dead. No life. And see, you know what's really terrific for us is that Adam lost spirit life, but because of the work of Jesus Christ and God being able to reinstate spirit life for whosoever believes in Jesus Christ, it's eternal life spirit. It's incorruptible seed. We can't lose it like Adam did. And that's a good thing. Because who's perfect? Nobody. And that wasn't even true in the Old Testament when God graciously, before it was available for anybody to believe and get spirit, in the Old Testament, God graciously granted spirit to certain people. But they could lose it. King Saul had the spirit that God gave him and lost it. And in one of the Psalms, I forget where it is, David prayed, Lord, take not thy spirit from me. Aren't you glad we don't have to pray that? God, don't take your spirit from me. I'm sorry. So we can't lose it. And you remember on the day of Pentecost, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of Holy Spirit. Day of Pentecost, the day God had been waiting for since Adam screwed it all up. Spirit's now available. Boom, and they got it. And God made it so easy, as you know, in Romans 10, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved, born again, receive eternal life, and receive that wonderful gift of Holy Spirit. And at that point, a person is no longer just body and soul life, but their body, soul life, and spirit life. How wonderful. In Gospel of John, we're in the first epistle of John. Go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Look at a few more verses. John, chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, gives life. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It's the Spirit that gives life. Says basically the same thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. How blessed we are to know these truths. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 says, who also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. Spirit life from God that he gave to us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Two more. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man. The word natural is the adjective of the Greek word psuche. And that word psuche means soul. So this verse is talking about the person who just has body and soul. The soul man. Receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. A person that's not born again, they just can't understand. What are you talking about? They just can't get it. But when we have the Spirit of God in us, then we can certainly understand spiritual things. The natural man, the soul man or woman, the person that only has body and soul receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So for us, the born-again ones, we have two life forms. Whether anybody believes it or not doesn't matter. When you get born again, God says you're saved. Well, I don't know if I'm saved. God says you are. Well, I don't know. Okay, fine. Doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter how you feel. You have the Spirit of God. You are saved and you have eternal life. And that is what God intended for human beings. And you know what? God would like for every person to have the Spirit of God. It says in Timothy, who will have all men, all women to be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth. And back in, I think it's in Numbers, when God gave Moses some help by giving 70 people the Spirit of God, and Moses said, would God that all God's people would have the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Moses was looking forward to that day. We're going to close in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. At the close of this first epistle to the folks there in Thessalonica, and again, this is a church epistle, so it's to us. Okay. The very, verse 23 of chapter 5, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word soul there is that same word, psuche, soul life, breath life. Paul said, I pray your whole body, soul, and spirit be preserved blameless. So we have two life forms. And when someone says or implies that all people are made after the image or likeness of God, it might sound really nice. You know, that's my motivation. We're all made in the image of God. We should love one another. We're all image of God people. We're made in his likeness. We can't be, you can't be mad at him. He's made in the image of God. You know, it sounds nice, maybe a little bit religious. But in looking at the scriptures, saying that completely ignores what we saw and what's so clear in Genesis 1 and 2. Body formed of the ground, not of God's image. Breathe, breath life, soul life, and spirit within. It just ignores that. And then not recognizing that causes a great misunderstanding of body, soul, spirit. And then you got souls going this way and spirit being something you can't understand and all that. And you know what that results in? It makes it really difficult when you don't understand body, soul, and spirit. When a person doesn't see that clearly, it makes them very hard to grasp or gain an understanding of the Spirit of God that's available now. And who would be in favor of that ignorance? The one that said, thou shalt not surely die. So God doesn't want us ignorant of spiritual matters. We've talked about that last couple of weeks. He doesn't want us ignorant. He's given us the book so we can know. And we have his word that gives us the information concerning this wonderful gift of Holy Spirit that God made available so that we could utilize, take advantage of, operate, manifest the Spirit of God. That enables us to have a relationship with God, that gives us direct access to the Creator. And aren't we so blessed to have some of that knowledge that we could share it with people? We could share it with Image of God people. So, verse 23 again. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for your word that helps us to understand spiritual matters. Thank you, Father, for making things so plain in your word. If we just take the time to read and consider what you had written to us. Thank you for your great plan of salvation and redemption, that we not only have your spirit, but that it is eternal life spirit and that we can't lose it. And Father, thank you for what you've written in your word that shows us how we can walk with and for you by utilizing the spirit that you've given freely to each one of us. Thank you for a great week and for us trusting you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So I know a lot of that was review, but isn't it neat to see it all together like that?
Yeah. I was thinking, you ever hear somebody say, boy, you really remind me of your dad. I was thinking about that in light of us. We should be reminding people of our dad, that image of God that we have, that spirit in us is the greatest reality in our lives. And how soon we forget that sometimes in the busyness of the day. I thought about that. Boy, you really remind me of your dad.
Well, what did Jesus Christ say? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Yeah,
that's right. Right.
And then in Ephesians, be imitators of God as dear children. Let your light shine. Boy, when we walk according to God's word and especially operating the Spirit of God, that's the light that shines that people need to see. And our country desperately needs to see the light of God's word. So let's shine on.